Welcome back to another episode of Vets and Visionaries with yours truly, Kristen Megan. This podcast is presented by We the Patriots USA, and I want to remind you to please go to wethepatriotsusa.org, where you can learn about our initiatives, the fights that we've won, upcoming cases we're supporting, and again, our first national conference located in Boise, Idaho. You can see we have a wide group of speakers from different backgrounds, scientists, doctors, attorneys, very vocal freedom fighters, podcast hosts. We're uniting in Boise, Idaho. And if you see on the screen, because you're listening and watching today, you can save 50% off your tickets. There are tickets for the main events, which is 2 days of speaking. There's tickets for book signings and VIP dinners with some of our national speakers. So please go to our website if you want more information. This is taking place on June 2nd and June 3rd. My colleague Tammy Clark and I are both speakers at this event. And like I always say, this is a fundraiser, so we continue to help everyday people who could not otherwise afford the fees associated with litigation when their rights are being infringed upon. My guest today is Mr. Ron Armstrong. He is the president of Stand Up Michigan, a large grassroots organization that was created at the very beginning of the pandemic when people realized that 2 weeks to slow the spread was going to be a long journey. So we the people got together, peacefully assembled, created chapters around the state, and Stand Up Michigan has done so many things, has got involved with the Choose Freedom Initiative you may have heard of, but Stand Up Michigan has been doing great things. Ron Armstrong is also a former mayor, so he has a lot of experience in leading and understanding how government works. And he's also networked on the national level, unifying with other grassroots organizations across a bunch of states, politicians, leaders, and other vocal voices in liberty. We're here today to talk about an issue that's going to sound very scary, but sometimes we need to sit down, come to the table, and figure out how we can stop something from occurring that has the ability to completely change our way of life as we know it. Often we talk about how we'll never go back to normal, or there's a new normal attempting to occur, and we need to talk about defunding the World Health Organization. Ron Armstrong is working with the American Sovereignty Coalition, and he is here today to discuss what that is, how it's a threat upon our nation and the globe, and why it's important for you to understand and get engaged. Where do we find a sense of normalcy? The purposeful divide widens as individual liberties are lost. While we feel the lack of unity, solutions exist. Through an open dialogue and constitutional conversations, hear from those who have upheld their oaths and join me in exploring innovative and inspired change through a clearer lens. This is Vets and Visionaries with Kristen Megan, presented by We the Patriots USA, a nonprofit 501c3 organization striving to sustain and restore our God-given and constitutional rights. Well, thank you again for joining us today. This is a very important episode for me and for all of us. So I'd like to welcome my guest today, Mr. Ron Armstrong. I did explain in my intro that you are the president of Stand Up Michigan and that you are part of a coalition on the national level. So really pay attention to what is going on behind the scenes. And although many of us have felt a lot of oppression and tyranny the past 3 years, could you really explain how what we're seeing and what is around the bend is something that has been planned for quite a while?
Thank you for having me join you. And this is one of the most important things that we have facing us today. I believe that many of the things you are seeing in the media and on social media are distractions. They are intended to keep you focused on a certain area, why something else is going on. And it reminds me of 2020, when many of us were not sure what was happening with this pandemic, but we were not really and ever sure of who it was that was pulling the strings and making the decisions. The one thing we did know is that it wasn't healthcare professionals, and it also wasn't scientists, if you will. It was something else. And one thing we've learned through the process, and we hope that we learn as we go forward, is that we should not allow unelected bureaucrats, whether they are from our government or from a world governing body, to determine the actions that will be taken or the efforts that are made to step on our constitutional rights, freedoms, and liberties as guaranteed in our Constitution, as we are a representative republic. No person, no government, no governor, no king or queen or government agency should ever have the ability to be able to determine whether or not we can leave our homes, rather what we can or cannot do with our children, where we should travel, or and so on. And many of you, of course, know that here in Michigan, of course, it was one of the worst in the country. I know some of you from Illinois and New York and New Jersey and California experienced the worst of the worst. But they all leaned on one group of people. They mentioned the CDC, and they also mentioned the World Health Organization. They were the ones who basically immediately gave a pass to China on everything that was happening and what they were doing. They actually said China was doing a wonderful job at being transparent. We all know that wasn't true. It goes on and on, but more importantly, you need to understand that the people that are funding the WHO, which is the World Health Organization, are not the same people who were operating this from a scientific level decades ago. They did do very good work. They have an important role to play. But like many things that we've seen in our society, they have been hijacked because of money and because of influence, with goals that are made to reduce and bring down the American economy, to basically begin to control the American population. And this was a test. A test in 2020 of how would we respond, how many of us would comply and conform, and how many of us would stand up and say, no, I'm not agreeing or seeing with what's happening here. And we failed that test, Kristen. We as American people, I think it started with fear. I think the fear was real because we didn't know, but honestly, in the 2 to 3 weeks to bend the curve, we understood it wasn't what they were telling us. The problem is, the major, as we could say, fascism, governments that were being using and manipulating and making money and incentivizing the public and private sector in order for them to comply, but comply with financial gain that was there, choosing winners and losers. You all know what it did and how it affected you and your life and your children's life, the educational system, and so on. But the important thing, and a reason I wanted to bring all that back, history, Kristen, is to understand there are plans in the works and have been in the works at the World Health Organization to be the preeminent determination in the future of all world health-related pandemics and or emergencies. And that is the important thing that we need to discuss today.
Yeah. And, you know, I behind the scenes have been aware of this initiative, which is the Sovereignty Coalition. And, you know, as a veteran, it's very difficult for me because I know there's many veterans, there's very many active duty members and politicians and individuals who held office and took an oath. And we have to remember that that is a very serious thing that we do to honor we the people, and how these things continue to just happen, and understanding that. You go back to talking about how the CCP basically pulls all the strings for the WHO. And that was evident back in previous outbreaks when we dealt with MERS and SARS-1. I remember they got the green light. They believed everything that the CCP had said. It's no different that, you know, an organization doing their own investigation on themselves. So when we hear the term follow the money, but really we have to follow the strings. Because the CCP has complete control over this. And I think this is so important because a lot of people are standing up. A lot of people have different passions and different initiatives. But we need to collectively come together for a moment and have this discussion. Because we the people can actually have the power to communicate with our congressmen and our senators to make sure that this is stopped. So my understanding is the ultimate goal is that we are to pull out of the World Health Organization.
Yes, and that's more difficult than it looks or seems, specifically when you have an administration, and there are two or three things I'll mention here. The administration is not only in favor of all things World Health Organization, basically they're trying to, as we know, is eliminate American sovereignty, and regardless of who becomes president, to basically allow any future, a pandemic, or we need to mention this because I'll get into detail in a bit, but we are talking about anything that is considered a health emergency. And as you know, that's going to include climate change. It's going to include how we affect the planet. They want to treat animals and plants the same as humans. Literally, it is totally opposite of what society as we know it is all about. The other thing is when we look at the World Health Organization and who pulls the strings is to just simply look at the leadership. the leadership of the World Health Organization currently is a Marxist communist. Tedros is a person who came out of Marxism. He has no background in medical or healthcare or science at all. And that automatically should make people question, how is it that someone like this, or who are these people behind him who are making the determinations of when emergencies start and end and what you are allowed to do or not do in regard to conducting business, commerce, or simply living on this planet, if you will. And so it is important, because what we're saying here at the Sovereignty Coalition, we realized we needed to bring together vast groups of organizations and individuals. The great thing for you all to understand is this has zero to do with a political spectrum. This is not a Republican or a Democratic issue at all. This is about, again, as I like to mention, a great conservative writer, Richard Viguerie, had said that it's not about Republicanism, and it's not even about conservatism. It should be about Americanism. This is about the future of America. It is about preserving our republic for all. It is about all the things that are listed in our Constitution, in our preamble, certainly, the unalienable rights that are never to be given to us or granted us from some power or authority. It's the entire reason America is here, and it's the reason America has fought so hard to keep so much of the rest of the world free. If America falls, there will be nowhere and nowhere for people to go. We understand this, but understand so do those that are against us, the Chinese Communist Party, and those that have and many billionaires around the world who help fund these organizations and always attempt to protect you, again, in the name of and trying to instill fear in you so that you will simply go along, and as they say, that you'll eventually own nothing and be happy about it. That's what we've seen all over the world. So right now we're looking to do two things: defund the World Health Organization. We have made commitments to them. We've entered into contractual agreements with the World Health Organization. That means those commitments, you have to, according to the documents we've signed, we have to give them 12 months notice before we remove the funding. That's number one, which means we need to make sure that our House of Representatives that's there today, it's controlled by Republicans, and we are trying to educate and inform them, and we need your help. Understand, because you were elected as an official at whatever level, but especially at a congressional level, does not mean that you understand the World Health Organization or that you even can explain to your constituents why you would be fighting against something that is out here to protect us. And if they don't know those answers, they're very unlikely to delve into the topic. So the Sovereignty Health Coalition is here to provide the tools, the resources, the information necessary. And we're trying to provide that to you and get you on board, help you to sign a declaration that we've written at sovereigntycoalition.org. And through that, we also have what we're calling, it is called an Align Act campaign. What this allows you to do is, without copying and pasting anything, it allows you to contact with a given message or letter your congressional people by putting in your information and your email and your zip code. It will automatically populate your local representation into that email. It will be delivered directly to their inbox. It'll let you tweet already pre-message with a meme that will go on to your social media. And it would allow you to do all this in less than 5 minutes, again, without having to have the knowledge or retype or put up anything. So we've already had over 250,000 actions that have been taken nationwide. This is but a drop in the bucket for what we need. We need millions of people to take action right now. And the reason this is that, again, talk about distractions, Kristen. The World Health Organization has been meeting behind closed doors for the last 2 months. They are looking at adopting amendments that have already been written and been approved by the existing administration that will grant it further authority in all future pandemics and health-related issues. And there's a lot more involved in this that I'd like to get into. But I'd like to get your opinion, because you're learning about this. You're studying this, a little bit of this, your background. But I'd like to hear more about what you believe has happened.
Yeah, so that's why I really wanted to get you on for this episode, because my understanding is there's trying to be a big push in the month of May here discussing this issue. So I have been following, you know, the drive for a new world order, a one world government. And I really like that you brought up that this is not a partisan issue, because it's not, because we can disagree on so many different things. And it seems a huge argument, and one of the distractions we're seeing is, you know, about LGBTQ rights and parental rights. That is going to be completely, we can't even disagree, because we will have to shut up and comply with whatever's put on this, because it will be attached to our social scores and how we spend our money, our monetary system. So if we want to disagree peacefully throughout history, we will not be able to do that, because we will become a part of a whole new coalition that we didn't sign up to be a part of. And we have a system of governance here in our country that we cannot allow to be abandoned. And like I said, for me, as someone who's taken an oath three times, it makes my blood boil, because how we ever let this happen is so incredibly criminal. But I want to bring attention to the website. So right here, I just want to show people how easy it is. So you can go on here. It's very user-friendly. You can learn more about what this is. I love how this gives people a lot of talking points. It explains what the goal and efforts are. And just like you had said, Ron, you can go onto this website and it provides you tools, a social media kit, the memes. This is a meme war generation. And you can sign that declaration. When you sign the declaration, it's very easy. Like you said, it marries up with your representatives, and then it shoots them an email. I actually did this right before we began this interview. And like you said, it didn't even take me 5 minutes. It was very, very quick. So if you go to us, is it sovereigntycoalition.org?
Yes.
If you go there, like I said, you know, I think a big portion of this too, we've talked about this offline. We need to get the more younger generation engaged, and they need to understand that if this whole plan happens, everything we care about is gone. And I don't like to just be a defeatist and just focus on the negative, but here on Vets and Visionaries, we provide solutions. So use your voice in an administrative manner and raise the bar on social media. Like I said, this is a meme war generation. There are so many great memes. I saw a new one that I really liked, because, you know, we say, you know, the WHO is the wolf in sheep's clothing, and these hashtags are very informative on social media. And also, you know, they want to control us. So there's the website again, the sovereigntycoalition.org. I mean, look at this. People just think, like you said, masking was the absolute litmus test. It was, we were in our obedience training, Ron, will they do it? And we did that and so much more.
And we still see the effects of it today as we travel, especially around the country, some in Michigan, in rural Michigan, but not as much. But the more you get into settings of cities, bigger cities, I would say still more liberal cities, you still see people living in fear with themselves and their children in masks. You see people still today driving with masks on in their own cars by themselves. Honestly, it has become a cult. It's evil. But the fear is real. We can't deny the fact that these people are in fear. It could be because they don't have the knowledge and information. It could be because they don't have the faith that we have. But the bottom line is that the only way we're going to change the trajectory of this is going to be through information and education. It isn't going to be through trying to demand things of other people, because we're different philosophically, religiously, or certainly politically. It is reaching people where they are and helping them understand that what they're doing isn't necessary, and that it is indeed a plan to control every aspect of their life. And that is really where we're at with the WHO. And there, we'll get into some strings beyond this right now, but I want to share with you a few things that are happening. So they have some amendments to the existing World Health Organization and all that these countries have signed on to. And these amendments have been modified, and they were scheduled to be actually adopted at this May's meeting. They actually were looking to be adopted, some of them, last summer, and they got kicked down the road because of many of the same groups and organizations who created a bit of a rallying cry, and they decided to put them off, hoping that we would be distracted while they would pass these other things. In late December of this last year, the current administration basically already has signed over more governing authority to the World Health Organization, and whatever it adopts as a group, we're agreeing to abide by. Now, yes, there are some terms in there that we have a certain opt-out period of time that exists after these amendments take place. The problem with that is there's also provisions being put in that they are active during that period of time. So during the opt-out time, which requires that if any emergency is declared, then we are basically beholden to follow those. Now you say, well, but that doesn't mean us. We have our own constitutional rights and liberties. Well, you're right, you do, except that under these, because of the agreements that have been signed and that we're not going to have two groups that we would assume, courts are not going to defend us. If you didn't see that or see it happen during the pandemic, then you're obviously not going to see it happen specifically when elected governing bodies enter into agreements. They're basically going to have courts that are going to follow along with this, and therefore they're going to enforce them.
I do have a question then, because I know people are going to be watching this and saying, well, we have a constitution and we can't engage in treaty agreements without a certain majority in the Senate, and we have a process that we follow. We have 3 inches of government. So for people that are living in this, how things used to be, you're telling me that it doesn't matter if this is unconstitutional. We basically sold ourselves off to the WHO?
I'm going to give you 3 examples to demonstrate this. Number one, the Senate, we did have a Republican in the Senate attempt to force a vote on a bill that would have made sure that if any of these agreements, which they believe should be a treaty, they're calling it a treaty, but at the same time, it's not going to be treated as a treaty. And so we said, we want to make sure the Senate is going to recognize this as it needs to have, as all treaties do, a 2/3 majority of the Senate. Well, guess what? 49 Democrats, all of the Democrats present, and voted against treating any actions of the World Health Organization with these amendments and treating it as a treaty. Every Republican voted that it should be, but it was 49-47. So before this ever happens, the battle has already been lost at the Senate level. We've already talked about the judicial level. So it doesn't matter whether our Constitution is there. It doesn't matter whether it is still real or not. If we believe and we know that our governing authority isn't going to defend us, if we know that the courts are not going to defend us, I want you simply to go back into 2020 and 2021. Was it not true before these treaties, before these amendments, was it not true that the Constitution existed then? And yet, when we attempted to fight back, even in fighting mandates and in fighting the, I guess you could say, the focus or weaponization of governments and government officials against businesses, we witnessed this all over the country. They had their licenses pulled, both doctors from treatment. Patient care was gone. We saw businesses that were shut down. They lost their licenses. There were people jailed for opening a pizza restaurant in Western Michigan. You remember the bowling alleys. You remember the guy out in the East with his bar. All of these people were treated as criminals for simply defending those constitutional rights that existed at that point. Well, my question is, if we now further strengthen the boards, and by the way, let's go to our health departments. Our entire nation said, we are following the guidelines and recommendations of the CDC and the World Health Organization over and over. We were told that we should not wear masks as long as we weren't sick, and we didn't. We were then told you should wear a mask, and we did. We were then told you should wear 2 masks, and you should put them on your 2-year-old children, and we did. We were told that you couldn't open your businesses, and that if you did, it could only be opened with X capacity. We were told you could only have 10 members of a family together, and we now learn that all those recommendations were literally made up. Dr. Birx herself, in a book that she wrote, states that everything from the timing of the so-called pause or the timing of the bending the curve, all of these things were made up timeframes that they knew were not going to affect the spread of a virus like this. We also knew that there was no doubt that the masking was not affecting an aerosol-related virus. And obviously, listen to Kristen, you've heard much, much about that over the last several years. But it didn't matter because the World Health Organization still deemed it important and vital. And guess what happened? All government agencies, even at the federal level, all the way down through local healthcare, state healthcare departments, demanded that these things be done. No more than everybody needs to be vaccinated. No more than everybody needs to, again, follow the mandates, social distancing, and all the things that were done. Your children couldn't play outside. It goes on and on. But they always were able to get away with it, not because they were right, not because there was science behind it, but it was because they simply could claim we were following the recommendations of a very well-respected world-governing body. That's why. So if you don't think it's going to happen in the future, it already happened, and it happened without the powers being instilled in them. Remember, those were recommendations. We simply didn't have anyone else accordingly, I guess, to follow because we weren't willing to follow the real scientists, the real people and medical experts in our own country who actually did know the truth and knew the alternate solutions and knew the masks didn't work and knew the vaccines should be optional. And all of those things were not allowed to be talked about or told because we needed to follow someone from outside the United States.
Well, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this because I view this as it's difficult to say because we have to face the reality of what's happening here. But people try to take what happened over the past 3 years. And in my profession, we usually do after action reports or lessons learned so we don't repeat it. And I'd like to think that's how this is. But as I'm learning more about what's happening with the WHO, I view this as more, it's not a lessons learned. It's they're creating the roadmap to, it's almost like when you said, do this, do that, and they kept flip-flopping. I don't think personally it was because information changed or a supply chain issue. It's like Simon says, and they paid a close attention to how many people would do what Simon says. Even like here, Simon now identifies as Simone, but that's for a different issue. Is that, will they do it? And collectively, I mean, a lot of us stood up, but we did. And as someone who's been in two different forms of litigation for very blatant and obvious constitutional violations, I have seen firsthand how even the attorneys are like, wow, I can't believe the judge's opinion is this because this case law says this. It doesn't matter how we have lived. We are never going back to normal and we have to figure out how to arm ourselves. And really, it is. It's that purposeful divide, Ron. It's that division on social media. It's the TikToks. It's pay attention to this. I mean, here in my county, my Freedom County of Ottawa County, Michigan, more people are upset about a slogan being changed than what is happening at the border of the WHO trying to come in and completely, you know, I want you to explain, this isn't just about health decisions. And like you said, it could be any sort of health emergency, created or not created. I don't want to get conspiratorial, but I put nothing above.
Well, you won't have to, because I'm going to share with you the amendments there. So what happened again, this was a test. They did not believe that we would follow along. And again, Dr. Burks mentioned this in the book. They said, what will people tolerate as far as gatherings? We think 10's a good number. If you get a little lower than that, people are going to push back. 10's decent for a party, right? That should be enough. Literally, yeah. And should we be able to do this or do that? And basically, these were all examples and ideas to find out what we would tolerate. It was a test. Now what they've said is, okay, we've seen the test. We've seen how it works, but we know that there are a good number, meaning probably 20, 30, maybe even 40% of the people out there who are saying, this will never happen to me again. I will never shut my business again. Well, I'm going to tell you, in 2020, during the bend the curve, almost everyone did. And when they did the 3 weeks as a pause later on in the fall of that year, do you know that the same people who said they'd never do it again did it again?
Yeah.
And that's because they would say, it's not worth risking my license. I have to support my family. So in other words, we would conform in order to create comfort. This is where we were. This cannot be where we are as Americans. And we need to understand what their goals are. So now what they've said is, and they already had this in the works before we ever got to 2023, they are looking to add amendments to this World Health document and agreement. And let me just share a few of them with you. The first thing is that the word has always been in with the World Health Organization, as these are non-binding agreements. The word non-binding is being removed with the amendments, which means that these recommendations are now binding. Number one, the World Health Organization will be able to intervene not only when an active public health risk exists, but also when a public health risk is only potential.
Potential.
This is so there's two parts to this. Number one, if there is a outbreak in the Congo, let's say, they could basically say there's a potential risk of this switching, so we're going to take 2 weeks and shut the world down, regardless of there being a real risk. But let me just tell you how bad this gets. Under Article 9, the amendment of the WHO will rely on undisclosed sources for information declaring a public health emergency, which need not be shared with the affected nations at all. So they're now going to say someone has told us there has been a release in this lab and that these people are traveling the world and this pandemic is coming. They literally only need that in order to have a binding resolution and recommendation to shut down the entire system or to shut down areas and pockets that they choose to be under this healthcare emergency or risk. Article 12 would amend the authorized at the Director General to declare unilateral and potential or actual public health emergencies of international concerns. Now, understand how important that is. So let's get into the public, this pandemic treaty. The first thing it's going to do is establish a global surveillance arrangement with all of the participating nations. This is going to include, you heard the word vaccine passports for travel before. You also have heard about smart health cards or digital Trojan horses for insulating globalists like the Chinese Communist Party's social credit system. They are literally, this is going to authorize the use of those to be able to identify people who have and have not been vaccinated, where it is they live, and be able to track where they are and make sure that they're not allowed to travel to certain places or do certain things based on status that exists within these healthcare systems or records. Number two, it's going to commit governments, ready for this, I know you've already heard it, but it is now in writing. It commits the governments to censor all dissenting views. Article 17, page 23 says the parties are commit to tackle false, misleading, misinformation, and disinformation. Each party is encouraged to counteract this misinformation, disinformation, and false news, thereby strengthening public trust. This is listed in these amendments. Now we move to the China model, which is called One Health Approach. It is Article 18, number 3, page 24. One Health includes not only, are you ready, human health, but also the health of animals, agricultural plants, and the environment. If passed, the WHO would have control over every aspect and existence of all things on Earth. This is what we're handing to them. This is what 49 Democrats said shouldn't be treated as a treaty. And we're turning it over to a leader who is a Marxist, who has no medical or health background, is saying that these health emergencies can be real or perceived. They can be something that's measurable or not. They can simply be something that is a potential. And guess what? It will control all of us. And all of these other things that will be instituted will force you to comply. Because if you can't travel, if you can't buy anything, and you say, well, of course, I have money, I could buy things. Well, they're moving there too. Central bank digital currencies, these credit scores, borrowing money. You will be labeled by how you conform and comply. This is what China has done all along. And when we heard this a number of years ago about China giving rewards to people who followed along with everything they did, were those that use certain social media channels, those that traveled beyond what they should, those that didn't preserve and follow the Communist Party of China, they would be punished in many ways. That is where we are headed in America if we do not take action. It is simple to take action. We simply remove ourselves from the World Health Organization and any powers that it would deem necessary. It will reduce, by the way, all of its control in such capacity. Now, what we do know is, because the government's going along with this, they will potentially institute this, and many international countries, many in Europe are doing it. Canada is buying it. And so if you're an employee and looking to travel there, you're going to have to comply with their rules if you want to come. So we have to decide, do we want a free country within our own borders? Do you want to be able to parent your own children and make decisions between you and your doctor? Do you want to be able to open your business, operate individually as you so choose based on your constitutional rights? Or do you want to have someone who is an unelected bureaucrat and, yes, follow the money, look at what it is that's happening and who's going along there, the people that are getting paid?
Well, as I'm listening to Ron say this, I'm thinking about everything that I've been seeing happen over the last 5 years. So let's start for now a decade with the gun grabs. It makes sense to disarm your people throughout history when you're trying to control them. Then, as someone who was vegetarian recently went back into eating meat, now I have to worry about eating bugs and cloned animals, and you've got Bill Gates trying to control our food chain. And then as someone who's been in crypto for years, I've seen how the Biden administration has tried to, with lack of understanding, tax the movement and gains of crypto. So if you look at all these avenues that grant us the ability to kind of go off grid and be free and defend our homestead, they're already attacking those angles. So is absolutely fearful this is. I have to give them credit for doing it in such a slow manner, not connecting the dots. The dots are now connecting, and I'm just sitting here going, this has been planned, and they had all the ducks lined up. And I'm so glad we're discussing this, because if we have people that have no idea about current events going on in this country, and they have no idea, we've had arguments like you brought up health departments. We had people making medical decisions that had financial backgrounds, and we got mad at those people. But you have to follow those strings once again and think, that's because we were all complying with a bigger entity outside of our own government. And I just want to reiterate that people need, to go to this website, and it'll be linked below and in the description, because again, it's a very user-friendly website. I think it does a great job. Sometimes talking points and information like this is overwhelming to some people, but it is very easy to understand. You know, right here, I printed off Gibbs talking points. You can bring them to your churches, bring them to your youth groups. Put these out, get people to understand why they need to be a voice and sign up for this to raise awareness, inform their congressmen and senators, because again, we can't even agree to disagree in this country anymore if we are going to have a situation that scares me the most. It reminds me of, if you're familiar with the civil asset forfeiture programs around this country, where if you just have $10,000 cash with you because you're going to go buy something cash, you don't need to be accused of crime. They can take it. So just you saying a suspected health crisis without having to produce any evidence is, to me, quite revealing that at any moment they need to rein in all control across the globe, they're going to do it.
They are. And they don't value human life as we do. They believe that this crisis is just as likely to be not a pandemic, but a climate change issue. Certain people will be utilizing too much greenhouse gases, especially those dastardly Americans. Therefore, there is an emergency at a worldwide level, as it is affecting plants and animals and whatever, because remember, we're not any more valuable than they are. And honestly, that's what these people believe. I think that many of the of what happened in this latest pandemic and the unneeded deaths that happened was a reduction in population that I believe there are people that are in favor of. These aren't conspiracy theories, but when we talk about solutions, and that's where really I would like to end here, is there are certain things that we need to do. Again, has nothing to do with who you vote for, who's in charge. And in this case, it doesn't matter who's your governor or your president, because we're handing that authority to someone outside the United States. It is ridiculous. It's crazy. And as many have said, it's insanity. What I'd like to ask each of the people watching is, is to just, if you would just do one thing, and that is honor a pledge that you have made hundreds, if not thousands of times in your own lifetime. And that is the Pledge of Allegiance. Did you know that everyone who becomes a citizen of America has to swear and pledge their allegiance to our republic? That's the representative form of government. That means individually we control the rights, not those that are put in charge or take control over each and every one of us. But I want to read to you just a few of the parts of this. We are one nation. Again, one nation under God. That means we're not the Americas. We're not Canada or Mexico. We're not the United Nations. We're not the International Monetary Fund, and we're certainly not the World Health Organization or the CDC. We are indeed a constitutional republic, and we are one nation, the United States of America. That is under God. Now, that is what they're really after here. If they can destroy what our natural rights are, our inalienable rights are, who come from a creator, which is what the foundation of our country was built on, it's where your individual rights cannot be changed or modified. No law can be created that basically will step on those rights that were not given to you by man, but given to you by your God. Now, if they can get rid of your God, then they do indeed control you, and you have no value. But that Pledge of Allegiance you made was one nation under God, indivisible. It's the one thing they have attempted to do here is take away our individuality and lump you into a group, whether it is by race, whether it's by religion, whether it's by what kind of sexuality you are. It doesn't matter. They want to put you in a box somewhere. And they want to divide those boxes to keep us at each other, one reason or another, and maybe it's many of those. What I would say to you is we were, again, to be indivisible when it comes to all things American. It's about Americanism. It is about putting all of that aside and realizing the most important thing is we are all Americans first. That is part of the pledge that you had. And then it says with liberty, and understand liberty isn't like freedom. Liberty is something that is granted, again, through those inalienable rights. It is the freedom given to us by God. It's those natural rights, as Thomas Jefferson said. And he said, give me liberty or give me death. And he meant it. We have to get back to what it is that we promised, the pledges that we made. And the last one is justice for all. And I have to tell you that you may think that you're a part of this, and that you're rather, you're a Republican, Democrat. I don't care what your socioeconomic status is, what your religious beliefs are. The fact is, America has, as they say, a blind justice, a justice that should treat us all exactly the same with the same rights, regardless of those backgrounds. And that is not what's happening in America today. These elitists are traveling on their private jets, and they are going over there and spending their billions of dollars to control the minions. They are putting masks on you, and you've seen the visuals. Masks on you and the help at these restaurants, well, they don't wear their masks. This is what they've done, is created a class status that has to be ended, because our justice system and everything that we stand for in America is something that you have pledged. Every single one of you have done it hundreds of times, and if you didn't mean it, do not ever say it again. But now is the time for us to stand up and declare the sovereignty of America, because America is the only beacon of hope and freedom that the world has yet left today.
We truly are. And you said that so impactful and gracefully, because we really are the lighthouse of freedom. When the world is collapsing around us, people know we are a free nation of we the people. And we cannot let any division stop us. I'm a very visual person, and I picture, you know, you can be with 100 people and have a natural disaster occur, and someone's about to fall over that cliff. You create that human chain. You don't stop and go, who'd you vote for? You know, what do you feel about masks? We don't do that. We unite. We put all of our differences aside, because we won't even be able to have differences if this continues. So, Ron, I thank you so much for being such a loud voice. I've known you for a long time. You're compassionately known as my Uncle Ron and the president of Stand Up Proud Chicken. And like I said, you are connected. You're a former mayor. You're using the tools that you have to really wake up we the people. So I will just continue to drive home people. Please go to sovereigntycoalition.org. There's a lot of information. And again, I just want to reiterate, it's not intimidating. It's a very user-friendly website. Get it out to everyone of every age. We need to wake up everyone from every side of every aisle, because Ron, I love you, but I do not want to be in a FEMA camp with you sharing caterpillars. That's not what I see for my future. So thank you for sharing this message. And this is a difficult conversation because there are people who have that mindset of going, I don't want to hear about it. Well, it's fine if you don't want to hear about it because it's going to be in your home life in the future and your way of life is going to be gone. We've got to pay attention. We have to administratively and peacefully be loud. So go to that website, sign it, send the letters to your senator and congressman, tweet it, share it, do everything you can, print out the literature. We have to get this conversation going. So thank you again, Ron, so much. I look forward to having feedback from this interview. And I just want to know if people have any questions or concerns, where would you like to direct them?
You can send me an email at any time. Just send it to ron@standupmichigan.com. ron@standupmichigan.com. And I will try and at least guide you. But so many of the resources we put there, like we said, even the memes, are there under social media tools for you to share on your social media. And the great thing is it talks about, you know, who will control your parents? Who controls your children? You know, it basically gives you, and as I wrote in one of the latest memes I put up there is that, you know, is who controls your healthcare? And the interesting thing is, as I said, is this can be a question, but it also is going to be a reality if we do not take action.
Yes. And again, those memes, some of they're funny, but they're scary funny. But those are the attention grabbers that you can get people to go share the link under the meme. This is a website that is set up to do all the work for you. So as much time as we all spend on social media, let's do it for a good cause. So thank you again, Ron, for being with me today. And always remember, folks, please go to wethepatriotsusa.org for more information. And you can email Ron at ron@standupmichigan.com, especially if you're a member of a grassroots organization in your county or your state, and you can help get the information out about this very fearful action that is headed our way. Thank you so much, Ron, for joining me today. And definitely we need to pray for our nation and our world.
We do. And the best of America is yet to come. Thank you.
Yes, I'd like to think so. Thank you.